My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The Bible says that we as Christians are living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Our life as a child of God is a life that is full of hope. I'm living in the hope that when Jesus comes again, I'm going to be taken with Him. I know that if I pass from this life, my hope is I'll live with God on the other side. But you know, as each of us can stop and think about our own life, our life probably hasn't always been a life of hope. This morning, I want us to think about a picture of a people in the Bible whose lives looked hopeless. Ezekiel chapter 37. God takes Ezekiel and He takes him to the edge of the valley and he stands on the edge of that valley. You can imagine maybe in your own mind standing on the edge of the valley. Maybe you're driving between here and Chattanooga and you stop at the lookout. And you get out and you see that great valley, mountains on both sides and the houses and all the cattle and the grass in the bottom. And imagine as you look over that valley, the houses are no longer there. They're ash piles. The cattle, we don't know where they are. There's no green grass. It's scorched ground. As we look for the people, we only see dry, dead bones. Ezekiel sees this great vision on the edge of the valley, this great vision of the valley of dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "Lord, You know." In essence, of course not. These are dead bones. How can they live? And God says to Ezekiel, "Say to the dry bones, O bones, hear the word of the Lord." And as Ezekiel prophesies to these dead, dry bones, they come to life. Bone on bone, sinew on sinew, muscle on muscle, flesh on flesh. And before you know it, you no longer have an army of the dead. You've got an army of the living. And this, my friends, is a picture of Israel and their hope. For a long time, Israel had been living a life that was displeasing to God. Think about how patient God had been with Israel. God took Israel by the hand, and with a mighty hand, He led them out of Egyptian bondage. Performed the miracles, opened up the Red Sea, fed them with bread from heaven. And how did they react to that? Multiple times they began to complain and murmur. "Why did You bring us out in this wilderness? Kill us. We'd be better off if we were back by the flesh pots in Israel." But that wasn't the only time they tested God. As Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, the people get a little nervous. They don't know where Moses is. And so they make calves out of gold and they start to worship golden calves. God was still very patient with them. God takes them right up to the brink of the promised land. They send in the 12 spies and 10 of them come back with a bad report. "Yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Surely we are in theirs." And yet it continued to go downhill for Israel. When they were in the promised land, there with everything provided, what did they do? Wasn't long, and they were up on the mountain worshiping false gods and giving praise to statues and idols they had made. And so finally, God had had enough. And God sends Nebuchadnezzar and his army, and he wipes out the people of Israel. Look in Ezekiel 37, 1 and 2. If you're not there, I want you to take your Bible and notice the language used in Ezekiel 37, 1 and 2. Ezekiel stands on this valley, looks over the valley, and it is a valley full of dry bones, and he says, "They are very dry, and there are very many." Look at the slaughter that occurred because of Israel's sin, and they're very dry. That's the spiritual state of Israel. Multiplied, thousands have died, and their spiritual state is at an all-time low. Imagine Ezekiel's feelings right now. How did Ezekiel feel as he looked out on that valley of dry bones? Ezekiel had to realize the state and the nation of Israel has been completely obliterated. It is no more as a nation and a state. That people who once were God's chosen people have now been taken captive. Their king, he's been blinded, and he's been taken captive to Babylon. The Temple of Solomon, that beautiful place of worship, it's a pile of ashes and stone. The heart of the nation has been carried captive. Israel, at this point, looks like there's no hope for Israel. Friend, as we think about this lesson today, let's realize that as we think about Israel and their slaughter, and as we think about their state of mind right now, haven't each of us at one time or another felt like this because of sin? Hasn't your life and mine at one time been a life without hope? Maybe you didn't know where you're going to put the pieces together, how you were going to do it, how you were going to rebuild. You wondered if there was any hope for your life or for mine. Well, let's get the rest of the story from Ezekiel 37. And I want you to notice what happens in this context. And then we're going to make some practical application. Look at Ezekiel 37. And I want you to know what God says to Ezekiel, beginning with me in verse 3. God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "O Lord God, you know." In essence, these are dead, dry bones. How could they ever live again? Okay, now watch what happens in verse 4. "Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Now watch what happens. Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied..." Now imagine this in your mind. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. "Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. And so God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Now, what's all that about? Ezekiel sees this vision. What's that got to do with Ezekiel and his life? What's it got to do with mine and yours? Okay, now look at the application in verses 11 and 12. "Then God said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I'm the Lord your God when I've opened your graves.'" What's the point God is trying to get across to Ezekiel and to the people here, and really to us as well by application? Friend, when things look hopeless, when maybe I've got sin in my life, maybe things are not going right relationship-wise, and when things look as dry and as hopeless as you could ever imagine, God says to the bones, "Live." God breathed His message into them, and they came to life. They said, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost." And God said, "No, it's not. There's still hope for the nation of Israel if they would submit to God and do His will." Now, I want you to take your trifold, if you have one, in the pew with you, and let's make some application. Let's say, we say to ourselves, okay, that's a great lesson. That is, as we study in Vacation Bible School, a believe-it-or-not story. Can you imagine bones that were dry and dead and sun-scorched actually coming to life and being a human being again? Wow, that's an amazing story. Well, what's that got to do with me and you today? How does Ezekiel 37 apply to my life tomorrow? Well, let's make some application from the context of Ezekiel 37. What do we learn? Friends, here's a very practical lesson we learn. Sin always brings spiritual death. Look at Ezekiel 37, verses 1 and 2 again. Ezekiel 37, God takes Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Why were all these bones here? Why all this death? Why all this slaughter? Because of Israel's sin. Friends, sin will always bring spiritual death in your life and in mine. Romans 3 verse 10 says this is something we all have had to face. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And when we sin, just like there was a separation from the body and the spirit, these bones lay in the valley, so there's a separation spiritually between me and God. I want you to open your Bible with me to Isaiah 59. Hold a finger in Ezekiel 37. And would you look in Isaiah 59? You're not far from it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. And I want you to look in verses 1 and 2. Just as sin brought serious consequences, brought spiritual death, physical and spiritual death to Israel, so the same is true for us. Look in Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." They suffered a spiritual death, and when we sin, there's also consequences. Listen carefully. Sin is destructive. It's horrible because it separates me from the God of love. And at that point, all hope is lost when I'm in sin. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul who sins shall surely die. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, there's none righteous, no, not one. And even the most righteous among us has to deal with the sin problem. But even in the midst of this picture, there's still hope, isn't there? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what do we learn first of all? Sin will always bring death. Secondly, look back in Ezekiel 37, and we notice from this context that the disobedient and ungodly will be punished. Look at Ezekiel 37, verse 2. God takes Ezekiel around and by the valley, and there are very many bones, and they are very dry. Why are there all these dead human carcasses in the valley? Friends, because of Israel's sin, God finally said, enough. Tired of you worshiping on the mountain. I'm tired of you worshiping on the hill. I'm sick and tired of your disobedience. And God said, enough. And Nebuchadnezzar came and multiplied thousands were destroyed by the hand of his army. Sin and the disobedient will be punished. Friend, nobody likes to think about punishment, and nobody likes to think about eternal punishment. But the fact is, and the reality is, it does me good, and it does you good to think about what's going to happen if I don't live right. The Bible says there is a place called hell, and it is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:44. There is a day coming when God will be coming. Jesus will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. It is a place of eternal torment. Revelation 20, verse 14. The valley of dry bones looks good compared to the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is what we know of as hell today. And so, yes, sin has horrible results. The disobedient will be punished. But where's the hope in that? That's a pretty dry and a pretty dull picture right there. Look a little further in your text in Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want you to see that God does intervene as a long-suffering God. Look in verse 5. Look at what God does. Ezekiel 37 verse 5, God says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. To a dead and dry group of people, God said, I'm going to give you another chance. Friend, can't we all be thankful for second chances today? Aren't you thankful today that the God of heaven is not a holy, angry, and vindictive God, that God Himself is long-suffering and merciful? Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Lamentations 3, verses 20 through 22. I think about God's long-suffering, and I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow concerning His promises, as some count slowness, but He's long-suffering toward us. Listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The God of heaven is willing to give each of us the second chance. We don't have to lie in the valley of dry bones. We can come out of that and have hope. Well, how's that going to happen? Look at the fourth point on your trifold. I want you to notice, this is where the hope lies, friends. This is where the hope is at. Our hope is in the power of God and His Word. Look what happens when Ezekiel does prophesy. Ezekiel chapter 34 or 37, I want you to notice what God says in verse 9. God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to the bone, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, now look in verses 9 and 10. Also God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. You see this picture, and we see the power that's in God's Word. God said to the people, hear the word of the Lord. And when they stop listening to the idolatrous people, when they stopped doing what the nations around them were doing, and they started hearing God's Word, that's when they came back to life. Friend, if there's going to be hope, it'll be found in the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joined tomorrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's the power. The power's not in me. The power's not in you. The power to change lives and to give hope is right here. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will never pass away. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Christians were told in the first century to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. We're born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so, if your life feels without hope, friend, you've got to start listening to the message of hope found in the Bible. Well, look a little further on your trifold, and I want you to notice this as well. The Bible teaches that we must never lose hope in God and His power. Watch what happens again. Turn to Ezekiel 37, and I want you to notice the amazing scene that happens in verses 10 and 11. This is so amazing as you think about the picture that Ezekiel sees. Ezekiel 37, look at what happens in verses 10 and 11. The Scripture reveals for us, beginning in verse 10, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Was it the case that they were without hope? Absolutely not. These dead bones who heard the Word of God, who changed their life, representative of Israel, they arose from that valley of death and decay, and they lived again. They were not without hope. Friend, if I'll put my trust and I'll put my hope in God, and if you'll do the same, our lives can be lives of hope. What do we have hope of? Friend, I've got the hope that one day I'm going to live in that beautiful place called heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven more than anything? Don't you want to live with God in that place where there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death? Don't you want to be in that place of rest? There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Don't you want to be with those of old or those who are close to you who've gone on? Solomon said, or David said, of his young son, I cannot bring him to me. I must go to him. Don't you want to be with the old who have gone on? Don't you want to live in that place where we'll never grow old, where there'll never be no dark, where there won't be any darkness, where all the sin and sadness has gone away? That's the hope I've got. I've got hope in this life. I've got hope of forgiveness. My sins have been washed away if I've obeyed the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 38, that if we repent and are baptized, we'll be forgiven the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. I've got the hope of the resurrection. The fact that one day when Jesus comes again, my body and my spirit will be reunited. It'll be changed and it'll never decay and it'll never decrupt. Now notice another principle from the handout. I want you to see this as well. One of the things we learn from Ezekiel 37 is that God will always keep His promises. Look what God says in Ezekiel 37 and verse 14. God says to the people, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Friend, when God promises, you can take it to the bank. Malachi 3, verse 6, God says, I am God, I change not. God's not fickle like people are sometimes. God doesn't change His mind. God cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. This is the hope that we have, anchor we have as the soul, our hope that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And so when God promises us something, you can be sure of it. Just as God said to the people, this is the way it's going to be, so God says to me and you, we're living in hope of eternal life. 1 John 2, verse 25, this is the promise He has promised us, eternal life. Friend, the fact is, and here's the good news, God has promised me and God has promised you that if we live faithful, we can be in heaven with Him forever. And friend, you don't have to worry and you don't have to wonder if such is the case. God will always keep His promises. Now, let's notice one last principle from Ezekiel chapter 37. Here's a very important principle. I want you to look with me in Ezekiel 37. Let's look in verse 6 and verse 13. What is it that God wanted His people to take home from this event? How did He want this to impact their lives? Look what God says in verse 6 and verse 13. God says, I'll put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and then you shall live. Now watch this. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Look in verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have brought you, or when I've opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you from your graves. What did God want the people of Israel to see? They wanted Him to know. They wanted them to know His power, that He is the Almighty. Luke 1 verse 37, with God, nothing is impossible. But they also wanted them to obey Him. Not only see that I can do this, but respond properly. Friend, in view of the hope of Christianity, in view of all the promises that God has made that we can be sure of, how does God want me to respond? God wants me to know His power and to obey His voice. You can't say today, listen carefully, you can't say today that you love God if you're not willing to do what God says. Turn with me to the words of Jesus in John 14. Jesus expressed this idea to us in John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, look at the simple statement of Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now look in chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus said then, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Just as God wanted Israel to know His power and obey Him, the same lesson is true for us today. Jesus said it's not everybody who looks up into heaven and says, Lord, Lord, that's going there, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Jesus said, or the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, that He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Luke 6, 46, Jesus asked the pious Jews, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And so when I think about the hope, the rebuilding that God gives, I'm reminded, I've got to hear God's Word and I've got to obey it if there's going to be hope. Now, just as there was a resurrection, just as there was a resurrection in the days of Ezekiel, there is a resurrection that's going to take place today. Friend, the good news is, spiritually speaking, our body may perish and may turn to the dust. But Jesus said in John 5:28 and 29, all who are in the graves will one day come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. As Jesus stood there with Mary and Martha, and as they wept over their brother Lazarus, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, Jesus said, will never really die. And so what's the hope that we have? The hope that if I live faithful, if I don't give up, if I don't give in, if I don't get caught up in sin, one day I will live with God forever. Friend, does your life resemble this morning that valley of dry bones? Are you living a life without hope? Friend, if you're living a life without Jesus, you are living a life without hope. But there's good news. Those bones that are dead and dry can be put back together. God can take the blocks and rebuild them if you'll only let Him. God wants you to be His child and He wants you to serve Him faithfully. And the promises and the blessings are beyond imagining. All spiritual blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. If you're not a child of God, more than anything, we want you to know today that God loves you deeply and that He wants you to be right with Him so that you can have the hope of heaven. To obey the gospel, just as they were told in Acts chapter 2, Peter said they must repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Have you done that? Have you believed Jesus is God's Son? Are you willing to change your life and turn to Him? Would you make that great confession, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And friend, would you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins? But maybe as a Christian, your life is not a life that has hope. Friend, today you can begin again to have that hope. Put the sin behind you. Begin listening to God's Word and make sure that you're living the way God wants you to. If you need to obey the gospel, whether that be to become a Christian or if you need to make things right with God that you know are not right, the hope of God can be yours today.